The person who has not at any time received the dust of the feet of the Lord's pure devotee upon his head is certainly a dead body. And the person who has never experienced the aroma of the tulasi leaves from the lotus feet of the Lord is also a dead person, although breathing. So one needs the mercy from the Lord's pure devotees and the mercy of Lord Krishna. Purport. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the breathing dead body is a ghost. Ooh. When a man dies, he is called dead, but when he again appears in a subtle form, not visible to our present vision, and yet acts, such a dead body is called a ghost. Ghosts are always very bad elements, always creating a fearful situation for others. Similarly, the ghost-like non-devotees who have no respect for the pure devotees, nor for the Vishnu deity in the temple, create a fearful situation for the devotees at all times. The Lord never accepts any offering by such impure ghosts. There's a common saying that one should first love the dog of the beloved before one shows any loving sentiments for the beloved. The stage of pure devotion is attained by sincerely serving a pure devotee of the Lord. The first condition of devotional service to the Lord is therefore to be a servant of a pure devotee. And this condition is fulfilled by the statement, reception of the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee, who has also served another pure devotee. That is the way of pure disciplic succession or devotional parampara. Maharaj Rahugana inquired from the great saint Yadabharat as to how he had attained such a liberated state of a Paramahansa, and in answer the great saint replied as follows. Please let us become aware of what how this purport runs. Prabhupada has made the point that those who are ghost-like non-devotees can never offer something to the Lord. They would have to become purified by service to the pure devotee in the disciplic succession. And now he will give an example. He will go to Yadabharat, who had become an exceptionally accomplished devotee of the Lord. Brings us to the scene where the king Rahugana, who was totally overwhelmed by the good qualities of Yadabharat, asked him for his secret, so to say. How did you become like this? So Bharat now gives his, or Yadabharat gives his secret. He says, Rahuganaita tapasa najati nachet yaya nirva panat grihat va na chandasa naiva jalak nisuyer vina mahatpara rajo bishekam. O King Rahugana, the perfectional stage of devotional service, or the Paramahansa stage of life, cannot be attained unless one is blessed by the dust of the feet of great devotees. It is never attained by tapasya, austerity, the Vedic worshipping process, acceptance of the renounced order of life, the discharge of the duties of household life, the chanting of the Vedic hymns, or the performance of penances in the hot sun, within cold water, or before the blazing fire. In other words, Lord Krishna is the property of his pure, unconditional devotees, and as such, only the devotees can deliver Krishna to another devotee. Krishna is never obtainable directly. Lord Chaitanya therefore designated himself as Gopi Bhartu Pada Kamalayor Dasa Dasanudasa, or the most obedient servant of the servants of the Lord, who maintains the gopi damsels at Vrindavan. A pure devotee therefore never approaches the Lord directly, but tries to please the servant of the Lord's servants, and thus the Lord becomes pleased, and only then can the devotee relish the taste of the tulasi leaves stuck to his lotus feet. In the Brahma Sanghita, it is said that the Lord is never to be found by becoming a great scholar of the Vedic literatures, but he is very easily approachable through his pure devotee. So, this makes it now very clear. It is through the pure devotees that we can obtain Lord Krishna, because Krishna is the property of them. We cannot approach him or get him by approaching him directly. Now, Srila Prabhupada brings this point to a very interesting conclusion by talking about Srimati Radharani. As I said, I had not enough time to talk on Radhastami. If I would have taken the time, I could have talked the whole day, but I thought to take the lectures which I had in my mind and spread them over the next few days. So here now we come to Radharani's position. In Vrindavan, all the pure devotees pray for the mercy of Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. Srimati Radharani is a tender-hearted, feminine counterpart of the Supreme Whole, resembling the perfectional stage of the worldly feminine nature. Therefore, the mercy of Radharani is available very readily to the sincere devotees, and once she recommends such a devotee to Lord Krishna, the Lord at once accepts the devotee's admittance into his association. The conclusion is, therefore, that one should be more serious about seeking the mercy of the devotee than that of the Lord directly, and by once doing so, by the good will of the devotee, the natural attraction for the service of the Lord will be revived. This point, the mercy of the pure devotee who can bring us to Lord Krishna, is a very, very frequent, häufiges subject matter of our scriptures, and it appears in a process or in a prayer to Srimati Radharani, which we want to read and learn today. There is a collection of prayers by Srila Rupa Goswami called Stavamala. It is a garland of prayers. And within this garland of prayers, a beautiful guideline appears, which is called Pratana Padati. And I wanted to read today with you these beautiful prayers. I will request Nadia Bihari, not now, but a little later, to distribute them, so that we can really learn the art of praying to Srimati Radharani. Prayer is a very important factor in the devotee's life, because by prayers his mind can become firm. You must know that the mind has different functions. It goes actually through different states in which it is influenced by different material factors. For instance, in the Jagrata state, when we perceive the external world around us through our senses, we become influenced by it, in that we react to it in either by accepting the things which we perceive or rejecting them. It's called sankalpa and vikalpa. But also in the svapna and sushupti stage, actually svapna, especially svapna stage, dreaming state, we become influenced by the mind. So to make the mind firm and bring it to the lotus feet of Lord Krishna is done through the process of prayers which are offered. Prayers are, of course, have mostly a devotional basis. That is, we express our devotions to Lord Krishna, we pray and so on. It's a very devotional exercise called Vandanam. But the effect of this devotional effect, the effect of this devotional process is that our mind, which is often so much flickering, schwankend, is becoming firm or stabilized. There is a very wonderful prayer. It's entitled Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna, which Srila Prabhupada wrote in a very, important situation of his life. He was actually in need of help during that time. He expresses the time in which he said the prayer in these words: Se kaya ye koribare agya jari dilo more yogya nahi ati dinahin. Dinahin means very fallen, very wretched. Tai se tomara kripa magite chi anurupa aji tuma saba pravin. He says, although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen, dinahin, and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy, so that I may become worthy, for you are the wisest and most experienced of all. He has obtained the mission to spread Krishna consciousness in America, and he feels unfit to do it. Imagine we would give, or Guido would get the mission to make the Indios of the Amazonas area Krishna conscious. I don't know how you would feel about it. It's a huge area. You need to have boats to reach the different Indios, they have a different language than you. You speak, they don't speak German, and they have also different concepts. They think in an entirely different way. So I think if you would try to do this, you would feel helpless. So imagine Srila Prabhupada, who comes to the West for the people who are trained in the Vedic concept of life. We are highly uncivilized here. We think totally different. We have a very unusual mindsets and are very egoistic, Prabhupada once expressed this. I feel he wrote in America, I'm in this distant corner of the world. And I feel very much eager to go to home, to Vrindavan. This is a very strange place, he thought. So he has now received the impossible mission impossible. And now begs for the mercy of Lord Krishna. And it's very interesting how he does this. He proclaims emphatically, Krishna tabe punya beba, e punya karibe jabe, radharani kushi habe, druvati boli tomata. I emphatically say to you, also mit Nachdruck will ich dir das sagen, O brothers, Brüder, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Otherwise, not possible. So, this is a beautiful prayer. I want to encourage you to read it. It's called Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna and can be found in the appendix of volume 2 of Srila Prabhupada's biography called Planting the Seed. Moin! So, because Prabhupada has encouraged us so much by saying it so nachdrücklich, so emphatically, that we can get the mercy of Krishna only by Srimati Radharani, I thought it would be nice if we can go together through this guideline or padati. For praying to Radharani. Pada, of course, means foot, and hati sounds a little bit like the elephant, hati, huh? It means strike, it's a foot strike. Now, when you strike your foot, what do? You come forward, you move in the right direction. Hopefully. So when you have a padati, you have a book which guides your steps in life. It is something like a guideline or guidebook in your spiritual life. As we heard on Radhastami, there are different padatis in the Vedic scriptures. For instance, an archana padati, Padati, that is a guidebook how to perform archana. The Hari Bhakti Vilas is such a guidebook. So this guidebook which we will now get to know is called the Prarthana Padati. Prarthana means a very intense request or desire which comes from the heart. It's a very wonderful and, let me say, very, very nice prayer. It was a guidebook. It was composed by Srila Rupa Goswami, who is our Rasacharya. Now, The word rasa is well known in Vaishnava circles, but also outside of Vaishnavas, it's a well-known word which is in used usually in poetry and theater circles. Poetry and theater or dramas have a certain function which is very valuable and which I believe has an ongoing fascination. Music has also this function. It is meant to create rasa, a certain taste in the heart which you can not have usually in everyday life. Through poetry, drama, music, you can, in other words, have an emotional experience that is much stronger than your everyday life. That's why people are so fascinated in movies, for instance, which tell stories, or novels, because they create or touch the heart and enliven the heart with rasa, with a certain form of taste, which a person often feels is necessary to remain alive. And now rasa, this taste, means also a relationship. You know, in relationships various tastes are possible. For instance, human and Siddheshwari have a little child, and by educating the child, there are many different tastes which one has. Those who are young mothers or become young mothers should prepare themselves by talking with the parents. What is it like to be a parent? What are the challenges? And so on. The taste, or in loving friendships, for instance, between friends, there are many, many tastes there. Excitement, you know. The human heart needs these tastes in order to survive. Now, Rupa Goswami, and here is now is a very important point, taught us how to have such a taste in relationship with Krishna. It's called the Bhakti Rasa, the taste of Bhakti. And as we will learn soon from the saint Yajnavalkya, the human heart wants only two tastes, really. It's very simple. The human heart wants to love and be loved. Hare Krishna. I hope no one will start to cry now, because it's so... it sounds right, isn't it, Bhakta Priya? To love and be loved. We want this very much. We feel enlivened. And that's a very important reason for a human being to come into a community. For instance, here we have a community which has great plans, sometimes as great as the universe. And in this community, we like to be in this community and contribute to the community as long or when we feel it's possible to love and it's possible to be loved. That is a very important thing. Now, Rupa Goswami, and I really wish that you now understand this very much, because we have sometimes in communities a very emotional need for human love. That is also there, must be there, but Rupa Goswami, differed from the mundane rasa teachers by saying that the fulfillment of rasa and the desire for rasa can only be had in relationship with Krishna. That's, and he developed a theoretical thesis of what are the different ingredients of the rasa? When does this rasa, this taste, which invigorates us and really is so intense that our everyday life is just nothing, and we want to relish it and we want to enjoy it. He described a very theoretical fundament in. For rasa, which as far as rasa is concerned, has never been, there is no competition to his theory. And if you read works on psychology, I read one very big compendium of Indian psychology once when I was young, and they will quote Rupa Goswami and his school, because there you find a very complex and complete description of developing this rasa, but in relationship to Krishna, Hare Krishna. And he made this practical. He wrote poetry. He didn't just give a fundamental, a theoretical fundament for how rasa works, but he wrote Lalitam and Vidakta Madhava, Dana Keli Komodi, two long poems called Hansa Dutta and the Uddhava Sandesh. I believe many of you are familiar. And a compilation called Padyavali. Yes, Padyavali. Now, then he also, this is interesting, had written many short poems on palm leaves, which were all over the place. They were like in the manuscript forms. Jiva Goswami, his disciples, found all these palm leaves, brought them together in one big compendium called Stavamala, a garland of prayers. You follow? It's almost like maybe you know, Gadadha is now giving lectures here and there, and he says something here and there, maybe a time, and he is not the most organized person in the universe, although he's also not the most unorganized person in the universe. Imagine someone would go maybe Kala Kanta or the ever-present Ganga Mayi would go and collect. Here is a lecture, there was a lecture, there this was said. This example is of course not so good because not everything which Gadadha has said is on the level of Rupa Goswami's. I think. But imagine someone would take all these unorganized materials and would compile it. Then you would have an idea what this meant. Rupa Goswami wrote and wrote and wrote. He wrote prolifically. We hear that the Goswamis, who were really persons from the spiritual world, wrote sometimes several books at once. Because, remember, the pages had to dry. It was palm leaves. And there was the ink was made from plants. And you can now imagine the manuscripts, if they were on palm leaves, must have broken over the course of time. And you know the Vrindavan climate? This is really a climate of Gegensätze, sometimes extremely hot, hot, but then so cold, and no shelter, except maybe a candle, you know, where you can warm your hands. But yes, so Rupa Goswami's work, these unorganized prayers were brought together. And in one of these palm leaves, there was what Nadia Biharini will now distribute into your sacred hands. There was the Pratana Padati. You will get now a palm leaf in your hand. A modern palm leaf. Do you feel the excitement of the time? Here's your palm leaf, human. Have you gotten your palm leaf, Siddheshwari? Shri Pratana Padati Shri Radhikayai Namaha. The Narada Pancharat, there is one similar shloka to Srimati Radharani, which is so confidential that it cannot be mentioned in a public assembly. If someone would do so, he would lose all his pious credits. But it is quite similar to this mantra. So this is a guidebook because there are four conditions fulfilled. First, the format, it's a glorification. Second, the mood of absolute humility, where one's disqualifications are expressed. Third, what to pray for, the object of prayer, that is love, is very artfully done. And fourth, it is a unique guidebook because it is done very artfully. So I would encourage you now to be very, very awake. It's clear to me that some of you must have slept in strange beds and did not find as much rest as in the usual circumstances. Please remain with us all the time. This is a model for prayer. If you can learn this, then you can become a good prayer boy. Now, to understand it, you need to first go to the fifth verse. Please let us chant it. I will tell you what the fifth verse is about. It describes Rupa Goswami, who is lying down in obeisances, rolling on the ground on the bank of the river Yamuna, and has a bewildered mind. He stammers and he cries out to Srimati Radharani. Tvamaso yachate na tva.
Tvamaso yachate na tva.
Vilutan yamuna tate.
Vilutan yamuna tate.
Kakubir vyakula svanto.
Kakubir vyakula svanto.
Jano Brindavaneshwari.
Jano Brindavaneshwari.
Having offered obeisances, this person rolling on the ground on the bank of the Yamuna River with a bewildered mind petitions you with a cry of lamentation, O Brindavaneshwari. This offers gives us an entrance into the prayer. Now, when you pray, it's very important that you describe your situation. Usually you don't start with it out of humility. You bring yourself in a little later. And then you actually go to glorification. You glorify Srimati, in this case, Srimati Radharani. And I would like to read with you these beautiful glorifications of Srimati Radharani. Please go to text number 1. Shodha Gange Agorangi,
Shodha Gange Agorangi,
Kurangi Langi Mekshanam,
Kurangi Langi Mekshanam,
Jita Kotindu Bimbasya,
Jita Kotindu Bimbasya,
Ambudam Bala Sambritam,
Ambudam Bala Sambritam.
So he now propitiates, means begs Radharani with a prayer, and he starts to glorify. This is the first element. Huh? The first. Now we hear 4 verses, which are nothing else than descriptions of Srimati Radharani. And I want to request Bhakta Priya to please run up into my room and get this big prayer book with Krishna, this picture. Here is a list of description. Shodha Gangeya Gaurangim. It means your limbs are golden, but they are a very specific gold. It is Shodha Gangeya, or pure gold. Such pure gold you actually do not find in this world. It said if you burn gold, I think 10 times it's considered to be pure. But if you would burn it 1,000 times, it would be very, very pure. If you would melt it so that everything goes out. We hear about such pure gold. It's not possible really to make this in this earth, the planet, or it's just not done. But we hear on heavenly planets there are some fruits which fall, listen to this, on the bank of a river and transform into pure gold. If you have difficulties in understanding this, don't measure it with your scientific mind. It takes place in a different dimension, not your dimension or our dimension. Srimati Radharani is glorified as having a golden complexion, which is like this very very pure gold. Her lips, then it goes to beautiful eyes, like that of a doe. It said once the Creator, the Lord, made Krishna and some made Radharani the most beautiful object, and whatever was not used fell on the earth, and one was the beauty of the doe eyes. Have you ever seen doe eyes? Rehaugen? Very, very big and very deep and very beautiful. They are only a very, very insufficient reflection of Srimati Radharani's eyes. And her lips are so beautiful that by them tens of millions of moon planets are conquered. Hare Krishna. This is what Baladev Vidyabhushana says. Can you please look at this beautiful poesy? Isn't the moon very beautiful? Have you ever looked at the moon? You feel like in the night when you look at the moon, it's so beautiful, especially the full moon. We have seen such a full moon on Gopurnima in Mayapur, and we were so totally enchanted by it that we had to make a digital photo of it. That was our spontaneous reaction to this full moon. It's just so beautiful. There are people, I am one of them, when the moon goes up, I cannot sleep. I have to move and look at the moon. It's called the moon walkers. Mm-hmm. When you previously, I would climb, I would be asleep, half in a trance-like state, and climb the roof and look in a trance-like state on the moon because it's so beautiful. Have you heard about the moon walkers? There are very few. Here's one of them.
Schlafwandler.
Schlafwandler, yeah. Da geht man so los im Schlaf. But one is in a trance-like condition. You can see, but you are not in the ordinary condition. It's mystical people have this. Moonwalkers. I don't call them Schlafwalkers. Moonwalkers. Because the moon is so beautiful. Who could deny the beauty of the moon? No one. So, but Radharani's lips are like conquered 10 millions. Yes, tens of millions. It could be also 30 millions of moon globes. So wonderful, so attractive. And she is dressed and adorned with garments that are like a rain cloud. Jiva Goswami describes this wonderful analogy. He says, there are two transcendental lovers in Vrindavan, and they each have the have cloth in the color of the other's complexion. Krishna wears a dhoti which has the color of Srimati Radharani's complexion, golden, and Radharani wears a cloth, a blue cloth, which has the color of Krishna's complexion, that is like a fresh, dark rain cloud. This is love. Imagine in this world a lover would dress in the complexion of his beloved, eine Hautfarben. Ja, schon fast, ne? Eine Hautfarben, ein Kollege. It would be something. We would feel this is real love when they dress in each other's. So this is in the spiritual world. Yeah, I feel actually foolish to make comparisons with the world because we have young girls who always giggle about everything, which is not to be giggled. So we will not make such comparison. So here is the English text. You, with limbs more brilliant than pure gold, beautiful eyes like those of a doe, and lips which conquer tens of millions of moon globes, are adorned with garments that are like a rain cloud. Haribo. Mm. Then we will go to text number 2. Please read with me. Navina Balavi Brinda.
Navina Balavi Brinda.
Damilotang Samalika.
Damilotang Samalika.
Divya Ratna Tyalankara.
Divya Ratna Tyalankara.
Sevyamanam Tanushriyam.
Sevyamanam Tanushriyam.
So this will now describe a little bit about Srimati Radharani's hairdress. she in India there is a custom that young girls will put flowers, blossoming flowers, or even sometimes little twigs in their hair to enhance the festive mood. So this is given. You are the ornamental jasmine, decorating the braided bun of the young gopis, and the beauty of your body is enhanced by such ornaments as celestial gems. Srimati Radharani is the best of all the gopis, and therefore this analogy is given, that she is the topmost ornament, just like a woman will carry the flowers here in the head, not just under the arm or somewhere, but on the topmost place. Srimati Radharani is the topmost decoration of all the wonderful young gopis, and she has many gems on her transcendental body, which are actually from a celestial area, an himmlisches Gebiet. They are not ordinary gems like rubies and diamonds, but they are gems who come from the higher regions. For instance, a gem which is often mentioned in Srimati Radharani's decorations is a moonstone, which melts when the moon is there. But it is very decorated. The gem has a beautiful color, and then when the moon comes, it starts to melt, but it does not flow anywhere. It's a very beautiful gem, and she's decorated with nice garlands of these different things. We go to text 3. Vidakta Mandala Gurum,
Vidakta Mandala Gurum,
Guna Gaurava Manditam,
Guna Gaurava Manditam,
Abhi Preshtha Vayasya Bhiya,
Abhi Preshtha Vayasya Bhiya,
Ashtabir Abhiveshtita,
Ashtabir Abhiveshtita.
Now one very interesting description is given. Srimati Radharani's qualities are mentioned. As you know, Srimati Radharani's qualities are usually mentioned as being 25 primary qualities. I have here a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's called Mahabhava Chintamani, the jewel of the highest love. And in this, the 25 qualities of Radharani are mentioned. Would you like to hear some of these qualities? How is Radharani like? First, is she sweetness personified? There's some statement about her. I don't go through every quality. There's a statement about her eyes. Her eyes are always moving. She can agitate Krishna by the flavor of her person. It's said that Lord Krishna brings her obeisances, brings his obeisances in the direction from where the flavor of Srimati Radharani comes. She's always very merciful. And then the 12th quality is a quality which Rupa Goswami chooses to describe. She is transcendentally cunning. Cunning means schlau. Rupa Goswami says, you are the guru of the coterie. Coterie means group of cunning ladies. That means Radharani is the most clever. Once Krishna asked Radharani, what is living although it is dead? And Radharani immediately knows the answer. Your flute, O Syam. It is like a dead body because it has nine holes, like any body has nine holes. And everyone was laughing. How nicely put. It's like a dead body, but because it is in touch with your lips, which plunder the wealth of all the gopis, it is living. So Radharani sometimes jokes very heavy with Krishna, and there is also a time when she challenges Krishna. She says, oh Krishna, you may be victorious in our games where brutal force is required, but let us now enter the play of the ground where the play of dice is played, where some intelligence is needed, and you will see you will lose. And then Krishna was losing every dice game against the most clever of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani. And it says, you are decorated with virtue, tugend, and dignity, würde, and surrounded by eight beloved peers. There are many very nice poems which describe Srimati Radharani as being very very clever, but I will just give you a little taste here. I want to now move on with you to text number 4. Chanchala panga bangena, yakuli krita keshavam, goshtendra suta jivatu, ramya bimbada ramritam. It is by you, O Radharani, through a stream of glance from the corner of your flickering eyes, that Krishna is bewildered. And the nectar from your red, delicious lips is the elixir of life for the son of the king of Braja. This is often described in other places, the Chanchala Pangabangena, that is by a stream of glances from the corner of Radharani's chanchala or quickly moving eyes. We hear such a description that once Srimati Radharani was sitting with the gopis under a tree, and Krishna, who had just left the cowherd boys, arrived under the tree. And the gopis saw Krishna and asked him, O Syam, what are you doing here? Oh, said Syamasunda, I have just come here because this is my favorite tree. What do you do under this tree? Asked the clever gopis. I wrestle, said Syamasunda, with my cowherd boyfriends, and I win always. The gopis said, that's not true. You cannot win always. No, no, I had many incarnations where I slayed all the demons. As Varaha, I went against Hiranyakashipu and I won. Not Hiranya, Hiranyaksha. As Nishingha, I wrestled against Hiranyakashipu and I won. Yes, said the gopis, but you cannot win against Sridham. And you, then Krishna said, I remember that sometimes Sridham is pushing him on the ground with his shoulders. You know, in wrestling, the other is out when both of his shoulders touch the ground. So Sridham sometimes is victorious over Krishna in the Leela. Yes. And he lies. But then Krishna says, at that time, Sridham's nose points down and my nose points up. So I'm the winner in this wrestling contest. So the gopis laughed and said, oh, Siam, you are very truthful. And they said, just like you cannot win against Sridham, the brother of Radharani, you can also not win against Radha. I'm prepared to wrestle immediately, said Krishna. It's not so easy. We first will prepare a wrestling arena, said the gopis, and then in 2 weeks' time, a wrestling match will be there. So all of Vrindavan was invited for the wrestling match, except for the elders who did not know about, or should not know about the sweet Madhurya pastimes of Radha and Krishna. A beautiful arena was made, and soon Krishna was all of Vrindavan came, including the animals and some Kalpa Briksha trees who wandered there. So the what was very nice was that at that time Krishna was decorated like a wrestler in one kunj, and Radharani was decorated like a female wrestler by Lalita and Vishaka in another kunj. Now, as Krishna's decorations came to the end, he was thinking of Srimati Radharani in a very loving way. Madhu Mangal was there dressing him, and Radharani was very, her zari was put underneath her, you know, underneath where the feet are, and then underneath the legs, so that it would be two, like almost at trousers, pants. You see this in South India. Yes. So when she was almost finished, then Krishna was thinking of the wrestling match and of Radharani, and as he thought of Radha, he became so much overwhelmed in love that he became distracted and absent-minded. Madhu Mangal saw this and said, don't be afraid. You will win. So then Krishna was led by Madhu Mangal to the wrestling arena, and on the way he passed Srimati Radharani, who was fully dressed for the wrestling event, but who was also had a shlaya, a veil over her head, so that Krishna could not see her, but he smelled her beautiful flavor in the air. At that moment his knees were becoming very weak, like gummy, and he was shaking and he was intensely perspiring. Madhu Mangal said, come on, don't show any sign of weakness. Why are you so afraid of her? She's only a girl. But Krishna was overwhelmed with the weakness of love. Then they arrived in the wrestling arena, and all the suckers, the coward boys, shouted and waved their garments, Jai Shri Krishna, Jai Shri Krishna, and all the sakis greeted Srimati Radharani by shouting very loudly, Jai Radhe!
Jai Radhe!
They were really shouting like anything. You must certainly shout a little louder. Jai Radhe! Yes, they were very much partial to Srimati Radharani. So then the wrestlers were informed by Nandi Mukhi of the rules. No unfair wrestling moves were allowed, and there would be no cheating, absolutely no cheating allowed, and they would have to wrestle in different rounds. So Krishna was standing there looking towards Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani was a little to the side. Then Srimati Radharani lifted her veil and threw one glance towards Krishna. And the moment Krishna was hit by the glance of Srimati Radharani, his knees gave in and he fell on the ground of the wrestling arena, totally defeated, unconscious, knockout in wrestling. This is very unusual in wrestling. And Madhu Mangal looked, or the coward boy looked. Krishna was very, very intense in wrestling. It was not just so easy. But now, without even one wrestling move, he had been captured and had been finished in the net of the loving glance of Srimati Radharani. This is described in a prayer which goes like this. Anangaranga mangala prasanga bangura bruvam savi pramang sa sambramang triganta vana patanai nirantaram vasikrita pratita nanda nandane kada karisyasiyamang kripa kataksha bhajanam kara karisya siyama kripa kataksha bhajanam kara karisya siyama kripa kataksha bhajanam. It says Radha continuously subdues the son of Nanda into complete surrender unto herself by piercing him with the arrows of loving glances shot from the corners of her eyes. Continuously subdues Krishna. These glances, laden with amorous delusions, inspire Syam with feelings of the most reverential submission. This is further enhanced by Radha's crookedly bending eyebrows that dance with the most auspicious sportive interest of the god of love. Oh, when will she shower upon me her sidelong glance of overflowing grace? Please repeat. Oh, when will she shower upon me?
Oh, when will she shower upon me?
Her sidelong glance of overflowing grace.
Of overflowing grace.
This is verse 3 from the Radha Kripa Kataksha Stava. So now this was the glorification part. Now in text 5 comes the humility part, but we will interrupt our lecture here because we will continue tomorrow. I just look, it is 9:30, and you will be able to hear tomorrow morning the rest of this wonderful process of prayer, and will become engladdened in Krishna consciousness. Tomorrow I would also like to read to you one verse from Vidakta Madhava, which I feel will give you a little understanding of how rasa or a taste can come about by hearing poesy. I will present to you one poetic verse of Rupa Goswami, which is laden with rasa, laden with taste. We will hear this tomorrow morning. I want to thank you for listening to this somewhat technical description of the process of prayer. And the day after tomorrow, I will, when you have seen it, I will give you this beautiful translation with the commentary of Baladev Vidyabhushana, which I also use in explaining this, and you can read it in your own times. Also, our devotees from Berlin, if you wish to have this, you might like to contact one devotee, maybe Prema Mayi, our office Mataji, and then she can send you a copy of this so that you can relish it in Berlin and be happy with a full palm leaf manuscript. That's a very wonderful thing, and I really encourage you, maybe during the month of Kartik, when Srimati Radharani is the Ishta Devata of that month, to kindly pray to her, and you will most probably become lovers of Krishna just by the power of these extraordinary nice prayers. Genau. When you know how to pray, or when you pray the prayers of someone who knows how to pray, and you have a little idea what is going on, why they pray the way they pray, what is a glorification, what is a description of the actual situation in which the person who prays is, what is his request, and so on, and what type, why he or she chooses the words which are taken, then you will actually be able to enter into a very powerful devotional experience. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami says that there are words which have always a magical, let me say, impact on the listener, and which can bring about Krishna consciousness. These are the words which are coming from the great acharyas, and also Lord Krishna, words which touch us in our lives. This brings obviously a very interesting question forward, which I would like to raise for you. Some of us do not understand Sanskrit. I can't understand it very nicely. I mean, sometimes you have the help of the word-to-word translation, but it's a complex language. And the question then, of course, is: can you develop the same feelings when you hear this language? This gives rise to the question, should maybe be translations used into our language, nice translations. There are some people who know good poems. They bring out a certain feeling. So the older generation, for instance, when they hear Marmor, Stein und Eisen bricht, aber unsere Liebe nicht, dann sind die ganz hin und weg. So ein deutscher Evergreen. Ist nicht, aber nicht so gute Poesie. But there is poesy. Maybe Govashi Romani knows that there are some which really awake something. I remember one poem which I like very much. It's written by a devotee. He says, "Sick, my list of things to do falls to the side. All I can do now is moan." Moan means lament. He's ill, he's sick, he's on his sick bed. But one simple cry to you, O Krishna, is more worth than a million years of walking in pride. This poem speaks to me very much. Or there are other poems. Let me see. I don't know anything about poesy which we speak to people. Ja, zum Beispiel dieses weltliche Gedicht. Stufen. Nimm Abschied, Herz und Gesunde. It's the poem of a whole generation, Hermann Hesse. Stufen. It's the German's most beloved poesy. Und immer wieder irgendwas. It's in the book The Way of the Great Departure. I quoted this. It's a nice poem which is giving something in the heart which an ordinary experience does not give. So our Vaishnava songs, but Prabhupada's response was to this is, he said, we should learn the meaning of the songs so well. That was his response. I remember once there was a guru puja in New York, and the devotees were doing this Siguru Siguru cha rana padma kevala bhakati satma. Prabhupada interrupted it. Do you know what the song means? Something nice, Prabhupada. It's about the guru. Then Prabhupada said, I still have the tape somewhere. It's a very, very, very tense tape. Prabhupada said, if you do not know what this means, then why do you sing it? And Prabhupada was very, very, very much about the, training us that we must learn the meaning. It's very important. Once at the book distribution, there was Rameshwara Maharaj at that time. And Prabhupada was walking on the Los Angeles beach with them. He had just published the Bhagavad Gita in English. And then he quoted a verse and he said, do you know what the verse means? The devotees looked at him. It was just published. How could they have read the whole book? You know, it was just published. Means one day ago. So, do you mean know what this means? Everyone looked, no, Prabhupada.
Prabhupada said, these books are not for distributing, they are for reading. He wanted to make a point that it's so important for us to know this, the meaning. It. This is what I personally do. I have this prayer book. It's only one of four. I have four like this. I will soon buy a donkey so that they can all carry this books, and then I go with my donkey everywhere. I always read in English, and then because it's not so with the melodies, then I sing it in Bengali or in Sanskrit or whatever it is, because then I have the English here, see? Here's the English, and then I look at that, and then I sing it with great. Sometimes it was great, sometimes with no feelings when I'm so tired in the evening. But I noticed it. It's very good to read these prayers so that this feeling comes. And the question is, of course, with which that it may be good also to make a nice poetic translation, which has a nice German of a high quality, or nice English, or nice Persian. You know, this is Rumi did all his teachings with poesy. Maflani, or what is it called?
Maulana.
Yeah, Maulana is the name, and his compilation is called
Masnavi.
Yes, Masnavi. Correct, Masnavi. A little bit like French. The last word is here. Last vocal is stressed. Masnavi. Yes. So yes. I would now like to end. I'm sorry, I went a little long, but what to do? Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.